Welcome back to the Godly Dating 101 podcast, y'all. It's your host, Tavares, and today we're blessed with a very special guest, someone that I can't speak on their topic, you know, so we had to get the expert, Mr. Anthony O'Neill. Thank you for being on with us.
Hey, brother, man, thank you so much to you and your beautiful queen for inviting me on. I'm actually, at the time of recording, I'm sitting here quarantining in New York, sitting in a hotel room for 6 days straight. So this is probably going to be the highlight of my week, man. So thanks so much for having me on the podcast, bro.
I'm glad that we could help you out there, you know, give you 10 minutes of, you know, worth of human interaction. But yeah, so... For anyone who doesn't know you, because I'm still new to the ministry, first time I actually heard of you was last year, you know what I mean? So I'm not one that knows much about finances. I just know don't be an idiot, you know? So that's all I know about money. I'm finally trying to learn more. You know, so the people told them, you know, I asked the people, who would you like for us to get on the podcast in the future? And multiple people said your name. So I was like, I got to reach out. Hopefully this works out. And thankfully you accepted, you know, so... For the people that don't know you, could you give a little background, you know, a little history of, you know, of who you are, or maybe a quick testimony, whatever you choose.
Yeah, man. You know, my name is Anthony O'Neill, Ramsey personality, 36 years old, single brother, who's excited about the future of marriage and being a family man. But if we rewind about maybe 18 years ago, just graduated high school, and I had two important conversations growing up in a very strong Church of God in Christ / Baptist home. Those two conversations was about the law. Number one, how to get into heaven and how not to get into hell. Yeah. You know, do this, don't wear this. You know, you can't do this. You can't listen to this kind of music. You can't go to prom. You can't, like, there were so many laws on what I can do and what I can't do. And then number two was, as a Black man, how to get home if you're pulled over or stopped or approached by the physical law, the police officers. No one ever talked to me. My parents, never talked to me about finances, and never talked to me about wealth building, never talked to me about how to be an entrepreneur, how to start a business. So when I graduated high school, I graduated with a bunch of spiritual wisdom, but no practical wisdom. Mm-hmm. And so I'm blessed and fortunate enough to have four parents, two biological parents and two step parents. And so one side of my parents live in California, one side of my parents live in North Carolina. So, man, when I went off to school, I just said, yo, I'm running away. You know, I'm running away from God. I'm going to do me. I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to be young. I'm going to turn up. And I did just that. Racked up at about $35,000 in student loan debt, trying to impress ladies by buying flowers and purses and taking them out to expensive restaurants. And unfortunately made some bad decisions in school, which cost me my college experience. And so when I made that bad choice, ended up getting into an argument with my parents. And man, at the age of 19, I became homeless. I was homeless, $35,000 in debt. None of my peers that I impressed at that time offered me a place to lay my head, offered me a place to come and take a shower, just get something to eat. The ladies who I impressed, nowhere near. They didn't offer anything. And so at the age of 19, I'm homeless, sleeping in the back of my car in a Walmart parking lot, questioning my relationship with the Lord, contemplating suicide, and having some very heavy and unhealthy thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I quickly realized that I was the reason. I remember on this one particular day, I'm sitting here screaming at God and saying, you did this, and my parents didn't do this, and this, that. And God said, while you're blaming everyone else, why are you not talking about yourself? Mm-hmm. And he said, you are the reason. You made the choices. No one forced you to make those choices. You grew up knowing me, but you ran from me when you got on your own. So you're going to stay in the darkness until you can see the light. And when God said that, I said, wow. And I started evaluating myself and the decisions that I made. And I'll never forget on that. At the end of that day, I went home and apologized to my parents. I said, hey, I thought I was a grown man, but I'm not. I'm a young man. And I want to learn, Pops, how to be a grown man. My dad embraced me back into the home, and he apologized. Son, I'm sorry for not teaching you everything you need to know. Let's start now. Let's start fresh. And that's what happened, man. Ended up getting out of debt, ended up transitioning into full-time ministry, teaching young people how to go to college debt-free, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but how to date, you know, which is why I love this godly dating thing, because I think the kingdom is not, they're not doing a good job at teaching singles how to properly date.
Right.
And so I did that. But most importantly, Sundays in my youth ministry, and we grew the second largest African-American youth ministry in the world with 10,000 young people coming through there every single week. We taught them on Sundays the spiritual walk, but then on Wednesdays throughout the week, I taught them practical stuff. Hey, here's entrepreneurship. Hey, here's what a credit score means. Here's what a credit card means. Here's how you budget. Here's how you avoid student loan debt. Here's how you start a business. Here's how you grow wealth. And so we grew up, man, and a guy named Dave Ramsey heard exactly what I was doing and he loved it. He's like, yo, love what you're doing. Why don't you come over here and join our team and help us, and we'll help you build your brand. And that's what I'm here today, man. 36 years old, 100% debt free, built my dream home, driving my dream car. And I'm teaching people in a real relevant and relatable way how to have healthy relationships with their money, how to grow true wealth and accomplish everything you want without being bound by debt, being 100% debt free and living the life that you want to build generational wealth.
So good, man. So good. It's just good hearing you say that, because I feel as though many people are in your scenario, you know, whereas we're in the scenario you were in the past. You mentioned at 19, a lot of debt. And we know a lot of people in debt prior to 19. You know what I mean? College, I don't want to say it like this, but can easily be a scam. You know, there's a lot of young people that are just drowning in debt, you know, trying to get a degree that they may never even be able to use. A couple of things I want to say before we're diving into like the interviewish type aspect. I want to, you know, regarding what you just mentioned, with your personal story, do you think that your walk with God was how, you know, when you decided like, I'm not really going to do this right now, kind of do your own thing. Do you believe that because your walk with God was a bit shaky that it led to a lot of bad financial decisions? Would you say that?
I would definitely say that when your walk is not within God's perfect will of his life, for my life, absolutely. It didn't just hurt my finances, but even hurt how I look at things, how I process things, because I wasn't in a healthy state. I wasn't in the true authentic state of Anthony O'Neill. While I'm still a flawed human being, and I still have issues and sins I'm working through as a man, yes, I would definitely say because I was not in a healthy place with Jesus Christ, it impacted my finances, it impacted my relationships, and it impacted my growth as a man.
Yeah, you also mentioned growing up in the Kojic church, and yeah, they were teaching you what to do, what not to do, but at the end of the day, that's really just heaven or hell. It's not necessarily the in-between, you know what I mean? And I feel as though a lot of churches that I've been in, you know, because I didn't get a chance to actually attend a Kojic church, I can't speak on their thing, but it's actually something that I see going around globally, and people of every denomination or every type of belief, it seems as though, you know, churches aren't, would you say the issue is that the leadership doesn't understand money themselves? Or would you say it's because, you know, it's just an area where I guess church is just not too knowledgeable on, because I believe that this is something that it wasn't just you, because in my church growing up, yeah, they told us about, you know, all the spiritual things, but I never felt as though they touched on finances or how to handle finances. So do you believe that's an area where the church needs to work on in the future in order to prevent these type of scenarios?
Yes, absolutely. I believe that the church is not, I want to say this in a sensitive way, because there are a lot of churches who are actually teaching finances in the true meaning of stewardship in a great way. You know, I believe that there are some churches that are doing an amazing job at teaching stewardship and finances, but there are a lot of churches that are only teaching stewardship in a way that it comes off as if they're trying to raise money, you know, but we're not teaching people how to be good with their finances at home, how to live below their means, how to grow finances and grow, not finances, but how to grow wealth, true wealth. But we're doing such a good job, you know, getting this $100 line, or, you know, sow a seed into the man of God, or sow a seed into this good ground. While all that is true, within this perspective.
Right.
But the first ministry that is called to you and to myself is home. If we can't take care of the home, we can't take care of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I think if we could do a good job at teaching people how to take care of their homes, then we will have a healthier church. The number one reason for divorces, and you know this, you're in the dating space, you know, it's finances.
Yeah.
It's not intimacy. It's not communication. It's not arguments. It's arguments over finances. They could not get on the same page and get in a healthy place with their finances. So if this is the number one reason, then we need to be teaching more on stewardship. And in the church, bro, we got to change the definition of stewardship, because stewardship is not just about money.
Yeah.
You got to be a good steward with your wife. You got to be a good steward with your kids. You have to be a good steward with your car. You have to be a good steward with the clothes that you wear. You got to be a good steward with your mind. So stewardship is not just about finances. Stewardship simply means that we are managing everything that God has given us. We don't own it. He owns it. We are the co-owners. We manage what he gives us. And so I think when a church can do good at that, at really teaching the true definition of stewardship, and then really making sure that our homes are healthy and a great place financially, man, the kingdom of God will be in a much healthier place. We will have schools. We will have businesses. Churches will be wealthy to where we can go out there and impact our community in a better way. But if we don't start at home first, the church will never get there.
Yeah, man. I don't think I could have said that any better. Like, I once heard a pastor say, I preach and teach about giving every single week. And the person, you know, they said it to was shocked. And he was just like, the problem is you think I'm talking about money. That's the problem. We don't understand that it's stewardship in all areas. God is talking about giving your life. He's talking about giving your time, all these things. So when you have that heart to give, you know what I mean? It goes way beyond just what you're giving monetarily, you know, so that's definitely good. But I'm asking you a few questions, because I believe a lot of our people are always talking about they want to get married and, you know, they're planning out their wedding and they're doing all these things. But I don't believe people have the right understanding with money, and that's definitely a critical part of marriage, because love alone is not going to pay the bills, you know. So my first question to you is this: how important is financial stability prior to dating?
Prior to dating, I would say on a scale of 1 to 10 is a 7. Prior to marriage, it's a 10.
Okay.
Because for me, and you're the dating expert. I'm not. I'm the money guy, you're the dating expert. For me, so if I'm wrong, correct me, I'm on your platform. But for me, dating is like, it's about gathering data. Like, I need to gather enough data to see if I want to court and pursue this young lady. And so for me, does this man need to have, you know, a lot of money saved up? No, I think when it comes to pre-marriage, here's the most important thing when it comes to finances: their mental perspective. How do they look at money?
Right.
How do they process money? If you have a guy or a young lady that has $25,000 in debt, see how they feel about that. You know, hey, where are you with money? How do you look at money? Oh, yeah, I just want to rack up. I want to use other people's money to buy everything that I have and just pay them back minimum. Okay, so now that lets you know mentally how they see money. Or if you meet a young guy or a young lady who says, hey, I got $25,000 in debt, but right now my main focus is to get this paid off. I want to be debt free, you know, da, 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 da. Then it lets you know where they stand about money. Hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. Hey, I have a 9-to-5 job. I'm trying to elevate it. Get to know their mental place when it comes to money. Don't focus so much more on the practical of how much money they have, how much money they do not have. See if they have growth and maturity when it comes to finances.
I think that's important, because when we got married, my wife was working a smaller job because she was just finishing up school. You know, I'm in the military, so finances were fine. And I thought my wife had a certain amount of debt. And it was just like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Because I know she wanted to pay it off. And then it didn't hit us until when she started, you know, going to pay the student loans off, that it was actually double what she thought. And I'm looking like, listen here, I had zero debt. I had not one dime owed to anyone. You know what I mean? I'm looking like, this is insane, man. You know, but but the thing is, I didn't feel like, you know, I was blindsided because of the cost, but it wasn't necessarily that she lied because she was ignorant of it as well. And I think it was just a matter of it wasn't registering that, okay, that interest is kicking in. Whether you want to ignore it or not, the interest is kicking in, you know? So it's key that you mentioned that it's not necessarily the amount, it's still their perspective on it, because she had the mindset that, no, I'm paying this off. I don't want to be in any debt, you know? And I think her student loans is probably the only debt that we have left. Our cars are paid off. Basically our credit cards paid off. So we're taking care of all of that, you know, and the goal is, you know, to get this student loans, you know. And I think that was my first time hearing about you, because I was looking like, man, this student loans is awful. And I believe you released a book last year about about canceling student loans, you know. So I was just like, man, you probably might need to read that book. but yeah, man. So I definitely think you made the right point. It's the perspective on it. Because I do know a lot of people, and it's like, I don't mind you know, enjoying Bali and going to Aruba. Go do what you want to do. You only have one life, you know, enjoy it. But when you have $60,000 worth of student loan debt and you're acting like it's not there, then it's like that can impact your marriage, because when that credit score is not where you want it to be, you want a home, then that's not going to work out in your favor, you know? So I guess in regards to a few things, my question to you is, if you as a man and you're not financially stable yet, do you believe that you are capable of pursuing a woman, or that you should be pursuing a woman unless you get like yourself at least in step with how you on the right path, I should say.
When I say when I hear the word financially stable, I hear you don't have steady income coming in. I hear it's hard taking care of yourself. I hear you have a lot of debt. And so when I hear those three things, no, you shouldn't be dating anyone, because I think as men, we are called to be providers and protectors. Right. You know, and so if you can't provide and protect yourself, what makes you think you can provide and protect a family, a wife, some children? And so for me, I think I date intentionally. I don't date just to be dating to be having fun. And so I date intentionally because I desire marriage one day. And so if I can't provide for myself, then I don't need to be taking out someone else to dinner. You know, I need to get myself in order. At least get my mindset in order, at least get a stable job and some stable income coming in, at least be stable. And stable means, hey, you still may hit a bump in the road, but you can get back to being stable. And I think that's the main thing for me. I tell ladies this all the time, don't date a man if he doesn't have a stable job, if he doesn't have a stable career. Don't date a man that if everything he's doing, and I say this too, this was funny. I told a young lady, she came to me and she was so impressed, because on her first date with this guy, he spent $1,000, bro. $1,000 on their very first date. I said, that is not a wise man. I wouldn't date him again. She's like, what? What do you mean? He's not stable with his income. Wait, he makes a lot of money. I said, that's a lie. Just because someone spends $1,000 on you doesn't mean that he's stable with his income. What wise man who's making $55,000 a year will spend $1,000 on his first date? What that shows me is he's not wise with his money. And so you find a guy who is not just stable with his money, but find a guy or a woman who is wise when it comes to their finances.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people are wise in that scenario. And I don't know if In my head, I was balling, but it wasn't a fancy restaurant. My first restaurant I went, I was like, babe, we're going to Cheesecake Factory. Have you know Cheesecake
Let's
Factory?
Go.
That menu was a little bit too big. Like, it's like 50 options. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is kind of a reach, you know, but it set the standard now, because now you're expecting he should be able to keep it going. I'm not saying ladies should let a guy take them to Chick-fil-A on the first date. Chick-fil-A is good, but I'm not saying that's what they should be settling for. But at the same time, I think you need to pay attention to the patterns, because a lot of times he can do things that'll impress you, but at the end of the day, that's not taking care of the family. That's not leading the home. And even after all the bills are paid, did you get to save anything? Did you get to invest anything? Were you able to give to the church? You know what I mean? And I want to get to that point with my finances. Whereas, like, there's plenty of times in church, whereas, you know, I'm giving something that I believe is a decent amount because I'm trusting God with finances, and I want to be able to give it and then tell my wife. Not that's always, good. Hey, babe, is it okay if I... You know what I mean? So it's the point is to get to a point where you're being wise with it. So you're always, you know what I mean, ahead of the game. So my thing is, and it's a bit of a weird question, but do you think a person should have a dating budget? I know that's something I heard of recently. So do you believe that's
Yeah.
why I have a dating budget?
Man, I know this is podcast, but my hands are up in the air saying, yes, Lord. Yes, man, I believe that everyone, you should have a budget. Anytime you spend your money on anything, there should be a budget line item for it. I'm big on vacations, so I am already setting aside money for my birthday vacation. I'm already setting money aside for my Christmas vacation. I'm already setting money aside for my Thanksgiving vacation. And as a single man, I do believe in dating. And so last year, bro, I got hit because I put a video out, dating on a budget goes wrong. And I have a line item within my budget, won't say the specific amount, but a young lady came to me, took her out to a very nice upscale restaurant for our first date, was nowhere near $1,000, it wasn't over 500, but it was a good, decent, it was a good restaurant. Well, the next day she's like, yo, I love the first date, we gotta do it again. And she said, babe, can we go out to this particular restaurant? Well, this particular restaurant, bro, is $500 minimum when you walk in the door. It's minimum $500. And so she asked me, it's like right around like the 25th of the month. And I had just purchased about a $500,000 home. And I believe in paying cash for everything. So I wasn't going to finance my furniture. So I had set aside a budget to furnish my house cash. And so I responded to her, bro. I was like, yo, I said, dope restaurant, but I can't do it this month because that's outside of my budget. I said, but if you wait next month, 6 days, I can see what I could do and we can possibly go there. Bro, she ghosted your boy. She ghosted me. And I was like, what in the world? So I did a video about this whole, thing of, dating on a budget. And I believe everyone should have a budget. You should be a good steward with your finances. And all the ladies said, because I have a budget, I shouldn't be dating.
Wow.
And I'm like, y'all are so false. I said, because every millionaire who I know, they have a budget item. They have budget. They have a budget. And so for me, yes, as a single man, I'm gonna tell myself, yo, here's your, let's say for an example, if my number was $300 a month, for an example, right? Well, I have $300 a month I can spend on budgeting. We can go anywhere within that budget and I can spend freely. Now, once I get over that, I have to be wise and good steward and be like, yo, okay, we need to get creative now because I'm building wealth for my family. And I want to make sure that when I get to my wife, I can tell her yes, because I would be so upset with myself if I tell her no, because I spent so much money on girlfriends and I wasn't preparing myself for my wife and for my family. And so, yes, I think you should have a dating budget. And here's the thing, we got to get the word budget. We have to, budgeting doesn't mean negative. So, budgeting doesn't mean cheap. Like, budgeting doesn't mean, oh, he's going to take me to Chili's and do 2 for 20. No, that doesn't mean that. But if that's within your man's budget, respect that man.
Exactly.
That's what, you know what I'm saying? If that's his budget, respect the budget, because what he's showing you is he is thinking about the future. And so, yes, to answer your question, you should have a dating budget. And any man that doesn't have a budget, that doesn't know where every dollar of his money is going, I question if he is financially stable.
Man, you just said a mouthful, bro. That's so good though, man. Because I honestly, I feel as though a lot of times that's been the case. Like, there's been some months where my wife and I will go out multiple times, and there's sometimes when it's just like, are we gonna do a date night home? I'm cooking, you're gonna eat right
Come on,
there.
bro.
You know what I mean? And it's
Come
like,
on,
I think a
bro.
lot of times we get the idea that, man, I spent $100, it was a good restaurant. I spent a 200, it was a good restaurant. That means nothing if you're doing this just to impress someone who may not be staying. We're gonna do Chick-fil-A tomorrow because I got a budget, and that shows you if they're flaky or they're ghosting or they're doing all these things after that, then it shows that they have a problem with money themselves as well. And I believe a lot of times we do these things and we spend this money because of the social media generation, bro. Everybody wants to show my baby can buy it all. What was your man doing? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? And
Come on.
Trying to be aesthetically pleasing, I think a lot of times that can definitely damage not just your spiritual walk, but your finances, your future. I want to make sure my kid got clothes on rather than to make social media think they got clothes on. You know what I mean? Like, I got to be able to afford, you know, have not have my family, you know, struggling. Because there was a point when I wasn't working because I was like, I'm going back to school and I'm gonna do the entrepreneurship. You know what I mean? So it's like we want to
Yes.
make all these excuses, but God forbid that finances that was flowing stop one day. And that's why you got to have something saved up. That's why you got to have all these things planned out. So it's definitely smart with budgeting. That's something I know I need to work on. So I'm not telling people listening, y'all need to work on it. Anthony ain't telling you, you guys are trash, shit like me. You know, so please don't hear that. But I'm gonna go ahead and try to wrap this up now. I want you to give us three tips to paying off debt. What are three main things for
Ooh,
someone
yeah,
who
that's
may
cool.
be 19 and struggling like how you were, someone who may have all the student loan debt, or someone who may not even be able to give to the church, or they're giving to the church and they're not, you know, having anything at home. Whatever it is that God lays on your heart, give us three things, you know, in regards to money that people need to understand right now.
All right. Number one that has nothing to do with money is define your why. And I
Okay.
would say this on this way. If you define your why, you will see this. That when if your why doesn't make you cry, then a price of commitment will make you cry. And if
Wow.
you're going to get out of debt, you have to be committed to the process. But if you don't have a why that really, really pushes you hard, then you are going to stop going after your debt. You're going to stop building wealth. You're going to stop starting a business. You're going to stop doing everything because when you hit a speed bump, when you hit a block, you're going to be like, yo, I'm quitting. I'm going back to the normal. So the very first thing I want to tell you is tonight, after you get done listening to this podcast, is I want you to cut off the phone. I want you to cut off social media, get off Clubhouse. I know y'all people on Clubhouse now. You know, I want you to get in a private room, cut off the lights, and say, you know what? What's my why? Ask yourself this question five times and answer it five times. And you will know when you have your whys when you start getting emotional. When you get that why, here's the very first thing. I want you to just to completely take debt off of the table. Okay, that's number one when it comes to the practical step when it comes to getting out of debt. You can't get out of debt if you're putting more debt onto on you. And so take debt off of the table. Number two, nearly 48% of the people in America today cannot pay for a $400 emergency. So what I want you to do is go on ahead and put $1,000 into your savings account, cash. Okay, this is not a credit card. This is $1,000 cash. Then next, what we're going to do is boom, get out of debt. I want you to write this thing down. I want you to Google it or go to my website, anthonyneal.com, and you'll see more explanation on this. But you're going to get out of debt using a debt snowball, not the debt avalanche, the debt snowball. You're going to line up all your debt from smallest to largest. You're going to make all of your minimum payments and then any extra income because you're going to get on a budget. And you're going to go through your budget and you're going to see where can I cut. If you got Netflix, Hulu, Spotify, Apple Music, and you got Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, you're going to go down to one video app and one music stream app. And let's say, for an example, you saved $40 right there. Well, you're going to take that extra $40, you're going to put that on top of the very first debt, which is your smallest debt, and you're going to attack that. So any extra money, you're going to attack that. Then let's say, for an example, you know, that was an extra $200 going towards that first one. You're going to take that $200 and put it onto the very next one and keep going and building a big debt snowball till you get to your largest one and until you get out of debt. And then after you get out of debt, you're going to set aside a 3 to 6 months of emergency fund because we want to make sure once you get out of debt using a debt snowball, nothing comes up that you have to go back into debt. So
Right.
if you can set aside 3 to 6 months of emergency fund, you're going to be set. You're going to be ahead of nearly 50% of the people in the world today. And man, that's just the goal. That's the goal. But there's so many different things, man, they can do to when it comes out of debt. We don't have enough time to talk about it on this amazing podcast. But if they go to anthonyoneal.com and click on Ramsey Plus, man, we literally walk them through a full 9 week course. It's free for like 14 days, and they can watch videos from myself, my mentor, Dave Ramsey, who's a multi-millionaire, and we literally walk them through the whole process. But the key thing before anything practical is ask yourself why. Why
Yeah.
do you want to get out of debt?
Wow.
That why should make you cry. When I think about my why right now, I will get emotional. That's why I push so hard. That's why I am where I'm at today. And that is why I will accomplish my goals years from now because of the why that's deep down in my gut. that keeps me pushing.
So good, bro. So good. I'm glad you accepted the offer, bro. Couldn't have said this any better, man. Find your why. Put the money into savings, you know, in case something happens and that debt snowball. Definitely good. He just mentioned his website, guys, you know, but I know there's more resources that they can get from you. So you want to mention any of your books or, and make sure you follow him, you know, Anthony O'Neill, plug all that, bro.
Yeah, man. I think the main thing for me, I have some amazing resources, books, debt-free degree. I'm teaching you how to get your child into school 100% debt-free without taking out any student loans. If you have student loan debt, get the quick read off of Amazon. Called Destroy Your Student Loan Debt. It's a step-by-step process on how to get your debt canceled your way. And then the main thing for me, man, is just subscribe. You know, if you're subscribed to this amazing podcast, subscribe to my podcast, because every single week I'm dropping some information on how to grow wealth, how to get out of debt, some creative ways. I'm sharing stories. And it's called The Table with Anthony O'Neill. You can subscribe to it on podcasts or on YouTube. But if you're listening to this, it means you're a podcaster. So just stay rocking with this amazing podcast and just join me after you get done with Godly Dating. So appreciate you, man, for the time and for your efforts. But follow me on social at Anthony O'Neill. Subscribe to my podcast and I appreciate you.
There you have it, y'all. Anthony O'Neill, the man, the myth, the legend.